encourage you to study the book of Romans for yourself. I hope that you come here on Sundays and you're like, yeah, I really want to learn the book of Romans, and that you'll take notes. But what I would encourage you to do even more than that is read the book of Romans on your own and study it along with me. The simple power of the gospel, which is our sermon title for today, can be clearly seen in a story told by Charles Spurgeon. In 1857, a day or two before he was going to preach at the Crystal Palace in London, where he would preach to 23,000 people, he says, "I went to decide where the platform should be fixed. And in order to test the acoustic properties of the building, I cried out in a loud voice, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" In one of the galleries, a workman who knew nothing of what was being done heard the words, and they came like a message from heaven to him, to his soul. He was smitten with conviction on account of his sin, put down his tools, he went home, and there, after a season of spiritual struggling, found peace and life by beholding the Lamb of God. Hey, you can go outside. Years after, he told this story to people who visited him on his deathbed. Spurgeon never knew it happened. Sorry. She's giggling. I don't know if I did something or what, but Spurgeon had no idea, like I said, that God would work powerfully doing something through him in that moment. And neither do we. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will help me now. I pray that you will use your word to accomplish your purposes in every one of us in this room. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So let's read our text again. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.'" In order to really understand the book of Romans, we have to understand these two verses. These two verses are pivotal to the book of Romans. Let me begin by, as I sometimes do, I want to give you the main point, and I want to give you a bit of an outline, and then I'll go back into it. So, the main point for today's message is this: the courage to share the gospel comes from knowing and believing the truth of the gospel. That's where our courage comes from. Knowing the gospel and really believing the truth of the gospel and how the gospel works. So, let me give you my main points today, if you're taking notes. Number one, the gospel, the power of God by it. The power of God comes by the gospel. Number two, the gospel, the righteousness of God in it And number three, the gospel, the courage of man from it. So let's start by looking at the power of God by the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, he says, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we saw last week, this is connected to the verses from last week, that Paul said, I'm obligated to the gospel, I am eager to preach the gospel, and I am unashamed of the gospel. And the reason why he's obligated, and the reason why he's eager, and the reason why he's not ashamed, is because he understands that in the gospel message, there is the power of God at work. Let me pause just for a second in case there's anybody here who doesn't understand what we mean when we say the gospel or gospel. What does it mean? When we use the word gospel, what we're simply saying is the good news, great news about what Jesus Christ has done. Okay? That's what the gospel is. It's the great news about what Jesus Christ has done. So Paul says he is not ashamed to share with people the good news because of what Jesus has done. Why? Where does he get this courage, courage that you may need and I may need to share the gospel? It comes from knowing and believing the truth of the gospel. And that there's power in the gospel. And then leaving the results to God. Paul says the good news is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. To everyone who believes. The power of God. So when the truth of what Christ has done is heard, read, God uses that message, that truth, to do powerful things. Like the janitor at the Crystal Palace when Spurgeon was preaching. Like what happened to me in my own life. Well, I'll never forget when I was 17 years old. I had heard the gospel. I knew the gospel. I had made a profession of faith and been baptized. But there was a point in my life where I didn't understand what it really meant to follow Christ. I tried to be a witness for Christ when my life was completely against what it means to be a Christian. And someone confronted me with my hypocrisy. And I went home that night and I read Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. And I understood that day that I was simply maybe playing a game, saying I was a Christian, but my life was not really reflecting that at all. The Word of God came to me like a hammer. That's what it does. In this statement, Paul says it's the power of God into salvation. So let me ask you a couple questions. Do you believe that the gospel is powerful? I think many of us would say, yes, I believe the gospel is the wisdom of God for salvation. Or yes, I believe the gospel is the truth of God for salvation. Or that the gospel is the pathway of God into salvation. Or it's the message of God about salvation. But do you believe that it is the power of God? The power of God. Notice that this power of God through the gospel is for salvation. It's for salvation to everyone who believes. What do we mean by salvation? The good news about Jesus what He has done for all people everywhere who believe can be saved or delivered. Salvation, saved. Saved from what? Delivered from what? Our sin. Our sin and the consequences of sin, which is death and separation from God forever. So the gospel comes to us and tells us this good news, and God uses that message about Jesus powerfully in us, convicts us of our sin, shows us how we can be saved. And we believe that, if we believe in that, that that's true, we will be saved. Paul, by the way, will use the next 10 chapters of the book of Romans diving into what verses 16 and 17 mean in detail. The message of the gospel is the good news that a person, you, me, can be powerfully delivered from sin and have eternal life through what Jesus Christ has done. And he says it's available for everyone. It's available for everyone in the whole world, from every ethnic group, no matter who you are, if you believe. Now, he says it's to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You may wonder what that means. That's not like a really confusing statement. It simply means that the Jews heard it first historically, but also because they were God's people. In some sense, they needed to hear it first. But historically, it went to them first, and then it went to all of us. Well, how did God make this happen? Or how does God make this happen? This takes this powerful message, this good news about Jesus, and saves people. Point number two, the gospel, the righteousness of God in it. Verse 17, for in it, that is the gospel message, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Notice the word reveals here. It's a revelation. God reveals something to us through the gospel. What does he reveal? He reveals, we'll see this in Romans, he reveals that there is a way to be righteous. I was driving down the road today and saw a friend of mine who's a Buddhist, and I was thinking about this morning on the bus on the way over here. Buddhism would say there's a way to be righteous. And it's, as the Tibetans say, it's Nange Chulu. It's the religion that's on the inside of you. On the inside of you, you can become righteous. But the gospel comes to us and says, no, you can't be righteous on your own. Not in and of yourself. You need an alien righteousness. You need a righteousness that's not in you. So what does the gospel tell us? The gospel tells us that we are not righteous. We are not good people. We are sinners through and through. We have a problem with God. God is righteous. We are not righteous. Therefore, we have a broken relationship with God that cannot be repaired by anything that we do. But then the gospel comes along and says that there is a righteousness revealed in the gospel that we can have. It's someone else's righteousness. In order to understand that, we've got to look ahead a little bit at chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 25. This is the best news in all the world. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, apart from anything that you can do to be good, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Sounds familiar, right? There's no distinction. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an atoning sacrifice by His blood to be received by faith. There it is. The gospel powerfully reveals to us a way to be saved and how to be right with God. Jesus Christ, who was perfectly righteous in every way, sacrificed His life to take away our unrighteousness and to give us His righteousness. He takes away our sin, gives us His righteousness. If we believe and have faith in Him, we will be saved. That's the good news. That's the gospel. So, number one, the gospel is the power of God. In the gospel, or by the gospel, the power of God works. God uses the preaching of the gospel to powerfully transform people and save them. Secondly, the gospel, the righteousness of God in it, He is able to save people because Jesus Christ, who was perfectly righteous, sacrificed His life to make people righteous. Those who believe and have faith. Thirdly, let's look at the gospel, the courage of man from it. How does Paul here find courage in the gospel? How is Paul not ashamed, and how can we not be ashamed? Hey, Amber, can you come get Millie? Yeah, can you come get Millie? No, just come take her back there with you. The courage to share the gospel comes from knowing and believing the truth of the gospel. The courage to share the gospel comes from knowing and believing the truth of the gospel. So let's get to some application for us. I submit to you that the reason why I struggle, and maybe you struggle with sharing the gospel, is because we don't really believe that it is powerful. Or we don't believe that God is powerful. Our lack of courage has to do with our theology and our belief. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. Now, I might even say that's not exactly what he means. The power of God for salvation. It doesn't say the gospel is the power of salvation. But God, who is powerful, uses the gospel powerfully. Notice that it is not us who is the power of God for salvation. I am not the power of God for salvation. The gospel is. Let me ask you a question. Raise your hand if you know who your postman is, your mailman. Anybody? You probably don't. If you live in a high rise, you probably don't know who your mailman is. You never see him. I live in a village house. I see the mailman in Sycong. He's like, oh, hello, Mr. Brown. So You may not know who your mailman is. Let me ask you a question. Do you think your mailman is sitting at home today nervous and anxious, wondering if you opened your mail this week? Probably not. I sure hope not. That would be a condition. Why is your mailman not nervous about whether you opened that check or those bills? Why? Because his job is not to open the mail. His job is to deliver the mail. Our job is simply to give the gospel. Our job is simply to give the information of the truth of the gospel to people. The power to make people listen, the power to make people respond, and the power to change people is all God's part. You might have heard it said, we provide the information, He provides the inspiration. We do the possible, God does the impossible. We deliver the mail, He makes sure that people's hearts are open. Somehow, I think part of our problem in finding courage is that we think it's more about us than it actually is. Paul does not think that. Paul does not think that he has to do all of that work. Let me show you. And I need to turn to 1 Corinthians in order to show you that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with words of eloquent wisdom. Notice that. Not with words of eloquent wisdom. Lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross, that's the gospel, is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Not with words of eloquent wisdom, just the cross of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 22-24. Jews demand signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, what? The power of God and the wisdom of God. Not signs, not wisdom, Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 5. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now this might sound like us. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Two more. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth. He said. Lastly, 2 Corinthians 4, I can't drink it, so thanks. Thank you, Millie. Thank you, Millie. Reconciliation here. 2 Corinthians 4:7. We have this treasure. What's the treasure? We have this treasure. The treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So Paul understands the reason that he's not ashamed is because he understands and knows the gospel clearly. He knows that the power of God is in the power of the gospel is used by God, and he is just the mailman. So we get ourselves out of the equation a little bit more. And I think we'll find more courage. Let me close by an illustration. Have you ever been on a sailboat before? It's kind of a nice experience. How does a sailboat move? I said that to someone of my kids this week, and they said by a motor. Well, that's true. If you don't have your sail up and there's no wind. But what you really get in a sailboat for is for a sailboat to move by the wind. Where does the power come from to make a sailboat go? It comes from God. You may say, well, it comes from the wind. Yes, it does. It comes from the wind, which comes from God. How does a soul change? By God. Through the gospel. We can't make a person be saved. Our job is simply to give the gospel. Our job is to simply hoist the sail. We simply hoist the sail of the gospel, and God provides the wind. God provides the power. We provide the gospel. Let me just say, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, we have great news for you. That great news is that there is a way for you to know God. There is a way for you to have a relationship with the God who provides wind. And the God who created the universe. You can have a relationship with Him. You can know Him. The only way that you can know Him is for you to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what it means, from faith for faith. It's by faith. Put your faith. Believe in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. He died for your sins to forgive you of everything you've ever done. If you believe, He will take your sin and give you His righteousness. And with His righteousness, then, you have a right standing, right relationship with God. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's alive. Gives you the power to change. Gives you eternal life forever and ever in heaven with Him. Turn to Him today and be saved. There's nothing you need to do except believe Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for all of us who are Christians in this room. We surely all need revival. We surely all need that unashamedness that Paul had. Lord, get us to the end of ourselves. We care way too much about ourselves. Lord, we confess that we don't like it when people reject us and feel like people think that we're strange. People don't want to be our friends anymore. We talk to them about Jesus. Lord, we confess that's a real shame and a real embarrassment. But not as great, Lord, as the shame of being embarrassed by You. Lord, break our hearts, change us, cause us to repent. That we might truly be people who freely sow the seeds of the gospel all over the place. And we pray that You would powerfully use the gospel to save many in this city and in the nations. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.